everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 118 for Thursday, December 6th, 2012. And we got a special, cool show. Jerry, how you doing? Jerry's over there, everybody.
I'm okay.
So Jerry, you know how everybody's been saying, Phil, you got to get a woman on the show? We need some girls.
Yes. Do I have to be...
I could only get one, but quite the woman it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Ashley Esqueda.
Yay!
What's going on?
I'm here. Nothing. That's why I'm doing this show.
No, appreciate it. Thanks.
I'm just kidding. No, I was actually, I've been dying to come on the show, and I work with you guys, and so, you know, I've been waiting for the call, like, every week. I'm like a wallflower, just sit in my house and twiddle my thumbs, and then I cry when the podcast starts because I haven't been invited.
Well,
I'm glad this week I can spare myself the tears and cry about something else, and come on the show.
Do what Jerry does and just bug me about it every week. Phil, please, can I come on?
I know everybody is accusing me of bailing on Tech Foolery to come on this podcast because conveniently my podcast, where there's lots of swearing, went on hiatus last Friday. It's called Tech Foolery, shameless self plug. But the funny thing is we went on hiatus last week, and so it just kind of ended up kismet that you needed someone to come fill in.
Yes, exactly. No, it's about time we did this. Actually, you've really never been on this? I could swear you have.
I think maybe once, and I think it was before I even started working for Mobile Nation.
Might have been.
We started doing the brief. I think it was in like June, right after the Evo 3D launch event.
So if you guys don't know Ashley, she does our Mobile Nation's Monday brief every Tuesday. No, I'm just kidding. On Monday, Tech Foolery. You know, you worked for Tekka before Tekka dissolved, and I mean Ashley has been in the Android space longer than I have. So if you don't know Ashley,
I write the mobile gaming roundup for G4 every week called Knuckle Up. And everyone's asking me, am I a Droid or an Apple girl?
Yes.
Both, everybody. Both. I have both phones. I use an Evo LTE, which I love, and I'm waiting. We're going to talk about it, waiting to get Jelly Bean. And then also my iPhone 5, which I kind of had to buy for, first of all, research purposes, and secondly, a lot of really good games on iOS that aren't on Android.
You see what I've got laying around
Knuckle
here.
Up. Yeah, that's such a nice little phone, man. I want to check that out really bad. I'm also waiting on, I want to check out the 920 over at Windows Phone.
The 920 is a brick. It is a friggin' brick. You could hammer nails.
I have heard this. You know, though, I like those big beefy phones sometimes. Like, I have really huge hands for a lady. I'm like almost 6 feet tall, so I like those giant phones.
She's freakish. It's crazy. What? What?
Well, I just can't believe you went there.
Terrible.
No, we love Ashley. All right, so let's talk Android. That's why we're here. We're not here to talk about Ashley's iPhone love and my occasional flirtation with this extremely sexy Windows Phone device.
Yes.
God, we need to get Android on that ASAP.
I know. I want to see that M7 in that. That's what I
want to
see.
You want to talk about that real quick? Jerry, I was looking today. I couldn't even find where we'd done a story on that, but this was it a Korean site, a Taiwanese site did some story about how investors are getting all excited about this M7 phone, which is obviously is a, I guess an early code name for whatever it is HTC is doing next year, and they're saying we're ordering all these parts, and it's like 3 million phones, 5 million phones, whatever, it's coming out, you know, relatively early 2013. I read it, and my reaction was, well, yeah, that's when HTC releases phones. They're going to announce something at Mobile World Congress like they do every year. And
the Evo or the 1X or whatever at Mobile World Congress, and then it'll come to everybody by July 1st.
I saw
it's
nothing
the,
new
the
in
DNA it. Plus. Get ready for it, guys.
It's going to be
the J Butterfly Plus minus 4,000,
the 5-inch phone's just too big for me. It's too tall. So here's the DNA. Here's the DNA next to the 4.3-inch 8X, the Windows Phone. And I hold these two together, and I actually got the 8X because it's basically the DNA. The DNA is just a little bit bigger. But same design idea, and we've talked about that before, where the battery's in between the display and the circuit board instead of on the rear. And so that's one of the reasons I got it. It's just tall. It's too tall for me. Not everybody, I think, but damn, it's a nice phone. So yeah, I mean, the M7, I just didn't read anything there that I didn't expect. Yeah, HTC's going to come out with something new. It's going to be very important. You know, quite possibly the fate of the company depends on it, but I don't know. Maybe not.
I'm pretty sure it's the same style of phone we're going to see from everybody next year. I mean, this is not real. We shouldn't act surprised. We can be happy about it, but we shouldn't necessarily be surprised to see it.
I mean, you guys
just think it'll be nice. And I mean, for me personally, I love HTC's build quality more than any other Android manufacturer. So for me, I'm all about HTC build quality. So I'm really excited to see kind of what they do with having seen the 8X. I'm really excited to see kind of where they go with Android next year. Although kind of feel like this might be a make or break sort of year next year for HTC in that way.
Could well be. I mean, I know nothing about what they're going to announce. And you guys know me. If I know something, I just won't talk about it. I have no idea. I mean, I have had conversations with HTC people, and I'm actually sensing a little excitement. I mean, not that they're not like rah-rah anyway a little bit, because they really are, and everybody I know who works for HTC loves working for the company. But I have a feeling they're excited. And I mean, look at what they did in 2012. Did they put out a bad product in 2012?
No, I don't think they did. I mean, for me personally, I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either. And I know a lot of people didn't like the Evo and the design on the Evo, but a lot of people do. Oh my God. So I waded back into the Evo 4G LTE forums this week because I got a little tip about the maintenance update that everybody's waiting on. I don't know if it's Jelly Bean. I hope it is. But we'll see. But obviously, there's some sort of update in the works. So, and I always say this. I forget how crazy Sprint forums get. And this goes way back to the old Windows Mobile days. Sprint fans are just a different breed, and I love them. They're awesome.
So, hey, we're filled with rage. We are filled with venom and rage.
That too.
You earned it.
I have. With that up and down speed, I have earned my rage, my friend.
They have done me so wrong.
Oh, I can't even. Don't even get me started.
I used to be a Sprint customer. I couldn't take it. I applaud you.
I couldn't do it.
That's
the only carrier I don't have a phone for here, just because it's...
My biggest frustration with it is, well, I've had Sprint since I was like 16 years old. So, and the other part of it is... Our AT&T service is terrible, and there's no reason for me to go with that. We have no T-Mobile to speak of out where we live. We live about like an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Los Angeles, and we're kind of in the desert. So we have like Sprint and Verizon, and Verizon has been so bad since I've gotten into working in mobile specifically. I've seen them kind of really... like they're terrible with like the bloatware and the Verizon cast and all these things. And at least Sprint for the most part, and I am not saying they're completely innocent because they aren't, but for the most part, I mean, my Evo is still stock and it's relatively bloat free, which is nice. And so I kind of enjoy that from Sprint, but yeah, God, the speeds are just so bad.
I want to move to everything Google has done this week. I joked that you can kind of tell.
That'll be an entire podcast by itself.
Oh, my God. I mean, I joked that you can tell there's a holiday coming up, but I was going back through all the stories. It's just like, holy cow. I mean, let me just run through these. Google search update, voice authenticator, translate update. Google Now, what's this song? Google Play Services API, which is actually very important. I want to talk about that for a minute. Google Plus Community, Snapseed, Google Play Private Channel, Google I.O. Dates were announced. We got new platform numbers. Gmail 4.2 is out for Ice Cream Sandwich and Above. It's like, oh, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Jerry, you want to start with the APIs? Because I think APIs are really the platform. I mean, literally, they're the platform, right?
That's for everything. That's where it all happens.
So the two sets of APIs, right? One is for the Google Play. Well, it's all under Google Play Services. One is for Photosphere, so you can bring Photosphere into other applications, right?
Right, and the other is for Maps, for people that want to write their own maps inside their own app. They can have the two-finger tilt and the zoom and the pinch, everything that makes the Google branded Maps application so good, developers can put into their own app. Same with Photosphere. Photosphere is really open, especially, you know, surprisingly open for an Adobe and Google behind the scenes project. when I found out that, you know, how it was done and how the documentation is made available, I mean, good job, Adobe, good job, Google. You've made that so anybody's going to be able to use it. Now I want to see somebody come to the table and wow me with the Photosphere app, just a viewer that can, you know, read them off the SD card even. That would be amazing. I know a lot of people that want to see them, and I know a lot of people that don't want to join Google Plus to see them. That's just the way it is.
Well, and that's something
mentioned
when they first came out, was the only place you could see them was on your phone or on Google Plus. Now that was a good push to Google Plus, but obviously it's not the best way to view these images. Never mind the fact that you can't actually watch, you know, you can't properly view a Photosphere in the Google Plus app. But now there's no excuse. So at some point we're going to see an update. I would guess not till after the new year, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll surprise us.
Make a nice Christmas present.
Yeah, it would.
That would be a nice gift. Be a nice Android gift.
And you know, the other thing on your list, Phil, that's really, really, really important, mm-hmm. but doesn't look like it on the surface, is that Gmail 4.2 is pushed out to other phones.
It's Android 4.0 and up, though, right?
Right. I mean, there's stuff in it that needs the APIs that came out with Ice Cream Sandwich. But that's a pretty big deal, because, you know, that phone you bought from your carrier may not ever get the Jelly Bean update, whether you want to think about that or not. And Google's doing everything they can to push better apps to you.
Yeah. And ICS is already, I'm looking at the numbers, about 33%. Of all devices, 32-33%, which I tell you isn't horrible for, I mean, what are we, since the code, I mean, we're about a year since the code drop, right, of ICS.
Yeah, about a year.
Yeah, and that's really not horrible as far as Android goes. I know the haters are going to hate and do what they do, but if you look at it historically, that's probably really good, actually.
Right.
I think that's probably the best that we've seen in terms of adoption across already owned phones. I think it's probably the best numbers we've seen, which is, you know, that's good. Improvement is always improvement.
So go back to that the post that JBQ did, you know, last year, and when he said it, normally it's like 6-8 months before you see any OEM push a major update like that. And I think everybody's getting better about it. It's not easy, and it still takes longer than I think everybody would like, but it's certainly getting better. It's so weird seeing Honeycomb on that list. God.
Yeah. Why is any? I mean, let's just get rid of that. Let's just pretend like it never happened.
Do over.
Part of the agreement for being allowed to use Honeycomb should have been you have to instantly upgrade away from it as soon as you can.
God, I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday, going through old pictures from the Honeycomb event that I went to out of the Google campus the first time I went out there. And it's just like, that was, I mean, it's night and day where we're at now.
Mm-hmm. Now that I'm thinking about it, like, Phil, how many devices got launched with not stock Honeycomb on it? I can't think of a lot of them.
Well, they never released the code, and that was part of the reason why.
So if most Honeycomb devices are stock, then why wouldn't they just be immediately upgradable?
Because it still takes time and money to do it. No, it's still a hassle and not necessarily worth the effort, depending on how many they sold.
That's, well, yeah, not worth the effort, depending on how many they sold. Yeah. It's like a conundrum.
Such is life.
They didn't sell a lot because it had Honeycomb on it.
Google Search update. That's probably the other huge one, I think. So technically, the app is Google Search. Google Now is part of Google Search. It's a little confusing, but not really. I don't know. Jerry, your favorite thing about this update got to be?
Oh, the What's This Song thing. I've been trying to trick it for 2 days now.
So you fire it up and you hit the little microphone button. You say, "What's this song?" and stick your phone up and it'll listen. And it actually does really well. Jerry and I were playing last night and trying to stump it. I stumped it with some Danzig. There was one other song I got it with.
How does Google not know Danzig?
I think it only can find songs that are in the Play Store. Because, I mean, it missed out on The Who and found The Circle Jerks. That doesn't make any sense. It's got to be something to do with songs that are in Google Play.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. It doesn't work in the DNA. Well, it's, actually, I haven't tried it in a while since last night. At first, it was crashing on the DNA. Russell Holly was one of the first ones to notice that and pinged us on it. And so Jerry and I got to playing around with it. And by the time Jerry got his post written, he's like, Phil, wake up! It's not crashing anymore. And, so they changed something on the server side, so where it just says, hey, it doesn't work on your device, which is still bad. So pinged HTC on it, and they're taking a look. But that was a little
bit my problem there is, what did it take you and I, and I don't know about you, but I had about 12 years in me by that time last night. It took us 10 minutes to figure out what's wrong, what it would need to be done to fix it, why it was done that way. So how did it slip out, giving you that big, ugly error? That just puzzles me.
Or, I mean, I know it's a new phone, but, I mean, you think Google would give their partners a heads up, maybe. Like, hey, we're gonna push this, you know, test it real quick. Give them like 3 days, whatever.
Yeah. Say you have, 72 hours to test this new feature. Here you go.
And in the end, all they had to do to avert the immediate crisis was server side, make that big ugly error go away, and instead you get a nice, well-formed little message that tells you it's not supported on your device.
Yeah.
Which is better than a crash.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, always looks nicer to a consumer instead of it just crashing.
But still, I mean, that's the sort of thing that it's going to be a problem with Android because there's so many devices and fragmentation, blah, blah, blah. But it can be avoided. And that was kind of a simple one, I thought. So it's easy for us. We're not actually doing this. I get it. But come on. With everything else that's been going on right now, it's like...
Well, they were so busy releasing everything else, Phil. There was some confusion. They had 10 bajillion things to do this week.
Any of this actually works is still a minor miracle, right? But, I mean, your job is to test this against phones and stuff. I mean, it needs to...
Yeah, that's... Well, Phil, Matt W. says in the chat, he's like, yeah, except most Android users don't have Google Now, and that's, like, a really good point, I think.
No, but Google has it, and HTC has it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get that, though, where it's, like, it's one of those things where you... I don't know, I just wouldn't think... I guess I can see where maybe Google just, like, didn't think that it would be incompatible.
Yeah, I mean, like, why would HTC have pulled that from the code? And I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just strange. No, that's a really cool one. The other one I'm really waiting to try, if I ever get it, is the boarding passes. So United Airlines is going to add boarding passes to Google Now, so you can just swipe up and there it is right there. That's awesome. Yeah. That's the way it should be.
I fly Delta. Really cool way to do sort of a passbook feature,
right.
Which is awesome.
Exactly. I fly Delta, so... I use the Delta app, which is actually a really decent app. It's really good on Windows Phone. The iOS and the Android versions are about the same. It's still really slow. I mean, it's got a lot of functionality to it, but it's really slow. So I would love to be able to just swipe up real quick and walk in and, I'm done. So United Airlines is going to get it, but the flip side of that is you're flying United Airlines, and it's entirely possible you won't actually get to where you're supposed to be going. So, sorry, that's a frequent flyer joke. What are you showing me the Optimus G for?
Yes, I am showing you the Optimus G4. Everyone was out there like, is that a phone in a koozie? I have to keep them in weird places because I have so many gadgets in the house.
I have a white one.
Starting to keep them in koozies now. Yeah, I really like it. It's really nice. So the Sprint one, the camera is not great, but I really like Q-Slide is really cool. Mm-hmm. I really like that where you can like make the video transparent and go and use your phone. I also really like, I like Quick Memo a lot, which is like an LG thing. And it's one of their pieces of software. And it's actually really good if you need to like show somebody a screenshot of something you're looking at. So I like it.
Mine has an antenna.
Well, aren't you fancy?
It's also in Korean.
Yes, he is.
Dude, it's so bizarre. Like LG says, we're not kidding. Everybody here watches TV on their phones, and we cannot get rid of this antenna. We would love to get rid of this antenna. We will get kicked out of the country if we do that.
I can't, but that's crazy to me. Like, a little...
And it works. When we were there, we used it, and it worked great. I didn't understand a damn thing they were saying. But it was really, really
but
cool.
The picture looked awesome.
It did, actually. I mean, don't get me started on LTE in Korea.
Send it to me. Attach it to the cellular antenna.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, yeah, no, the cellular in Korea is like insane. It's like Google Fiber here. Yeah. It's like the craziest. I have a friend who has a wife that he met his wife in South Korea, and like it is. He is always talking about how it's like living in the future there. It's like all the doors are like, it's like Star Trek and stuff. And I'm jealous a little bit.
Snapseed for Android finally came out today. That was fun to watch this morning because apparently the embargo time was not the same as the go live time for the app. So there was like an hour in between there. Oh. And I was like, it's out, it's available. And it really wasn't. So it's here. I'm not that enthused by it. I get that Google bought Snapseed, bought the company, and it looks like a really cool photo editing app. I don't think it's the best one. I think I've been using Perfectly Clear for a while. I think it has a much better UI. I mean, I opened up Snapseed, and it took me 5 minutes to figure out how to, you know, add a photo to it. We're going to do a comparison with all of them and take a look. But it's just, the controls are pretty awkward, and I'm not the only one who said that. I was looking around today. I don't know. Jerry, Ashley, did you guys try it at all?
I have it on iPad. So, first of all, I would like to join the cacophony of iOS users who are enraged about the fact that it went from $5 to free today. Because I paid for it. But I don't use it as much as I actually use Camera Plus on like the iPhone, and I also have other photography apps on Android. So I use like Retro Camera and Vignette on my Evo. So I don't really edit pictures that way on a phone, number one. Like I just don't edit pictures like that unless it's in Instagram or whatever. And but like every now and then I'll look into it on the iPad. And even then it's not the end all be all of photography apps. I don't think it's even the best out there. Like I mean, it's nice, but I use other stuff.
I get the feeling everybody saw, you know, Google bottom and then just, ooh, but I mean, okay. It's a photo editing app. And I agree. My phone is the last place I want to tone a photo, and I used
but
to.
But is it a real? I haven't played with it. Mm. Is it a real photo editing app, or is it just another filter app?
No, it's more.
Well,
than
you
just
can
a filter.
Pull in RAW, like yeah. You can pull in RAW photos, which is really helpful.
Okay,
it's a nice feature. That's one of the things that I'll use it for on the iPad. Is like if I go and do photography somewhere, I can actually pull. I can pull the SD card from my camera, pop it into the iPad with the adapter, the SD card adapter, and immediately like edit some raw footage, which I really like that. But generally speaking, it's not like people are acting like it's this like photo messiah app, and
exactly.
It really just isn't. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, at least it's free. You know, I think I'm going to keep using Perfectly Clear. If I'm going to tone a photo on a phone like this, it has to be fast. I'm not going to sit there and look at this, you know, 4-inch device for 5 minutes trying to fix the saturation on every photo. It's like, no.
Yeah. This is like a thing where it's like, yeah, you're not going to use it the way that it's intended to be used, I think, on a phone. That's
right.
Just me though.
Exactly.
If you have a Nexus 10, oh man, like it would be great. Like it's great. I would totally recommend somebody get Snapseed for even the Nexus 7, I think would be a really great choice. But on a phone, like I just don't see the application for it. It's not even installed on either my iPhone or my Evo. Like I don't use it.
If it can handle RAW files, I'm going to put it on my Prime because I shoot tethered from my Prime all the time.
You might get some really good results from that. Like
it's
I'm able to change a lot of the levels and things. Like I really like it for RAW. That's why
I'll
like
give it a look. Bill, I dibs on the full review for it.
What's that?
Dibs on the full review for the game. I'll play with it.
Cool. Finally on the Google end, Google I/O has been set for May 15th through 17th. So that's actually changed back from 2012. 2012, they moved it to the end of June, which I guess was to get ice cream. No, jelly bean. What did we see? We saw jelly bean. No. Yeah. Jelly bean.
Yeah.
God,
jelly bean.
So
jelly bean part one.
And the statue melted. That was the exciting part.
I know. Well, you know that picture that everybody hates of me standing in front of the statue at Building 44. That's the original statue. So I love that.
Yeah, that's the one that ended up melting.
Yeah.
That's a special edition picture,
Phil. I know. I'll autograph it for $20, actually, if any. I'm kidding.
Send it out to anybody. Put it in the Android Central store for purchase.
I have tasteful nudes if anybody wants those, too. No, so they've moved it back to May, which is kind of interesting. Andy Rubin is still scheduled to speak at the rescheduled D Dive into Mobile, which is all things D, the Wall Street Journal's tech thing. That's in April. So I'm a little curious to see what he's going to say there a month before Google I.O. I think I like the move back to May, although it's the week before. I think it's the week before or the week after. Week before CTIA in Vegas. So it'll be essentially living in the West Coast in May, I guess. So I don't know.
Come hang out at my house.
It's interesting timing. But here's the other reason why it's interesting timing. So everybody is kind of working under the assumption that we'll see a Galaxy S4 sometime around then, right? And we're already hearing rumors of first quarter, late first quarter, early second quarter. I mean, that's all right about that same time. So I don't know. I mean, and what if we did it, you know, just about, was it early May this year we got the Galaxy S3, or was it late May? It was early May.
I think it was early. And wouldn't you, I would imagine, just from a historical perspective, precedent or whatever, I would imagine that Samsung would have an Unpacked event right at CTIA. Like, that's what I'm assuming.
Well, I mean, maybe, but they did in this past year. So, I mean, they did the separate one.
They've kind of moved away. They'd like to have their own events now and separate.
Yeah, well, yeah, see, we say that, but they don't. Galaxy S1, CTIA in March.
CTIA.
That was in Orlando. Galaxy S2 was Mobile World Congress in February. Galaxy S3 was a standalone event in May. So actually, we don't have precedent. I know we all keep saying that. But each one has been at a different event now. So I don't know.
I'm going to say that they have moved beyond, like, Samsung is in a place now where they can have their own events as opposed to, like, tying into an event. So I think I am going to predict that they're going to have their own standalone event. Probably, if I had to guess, either right before or right after CTIA. That's what I think.
I'm thinking London would be nice again. About Paris?
Not between CTIA and I.O.
No, that would be bad.
Trying the blues on that plane flight, Phil.
Yeah, you know, do it the week before.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long spring. You know, we've got CES in January, NWC at the end of February, March nothing, April nothing, May is just nuts already. It's like, oh, here we go. And there are going to be all these standalone events that we have anyway, you know, New York, whatever. Woo! So, Jerry, are you coming? Are we going to do this again?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Google I.O.
All right.
I wouldn't miss that for the world.
I think Google heard about me ordering an iPhone, and like I'm like blackballed for any Google I.O. But the funny thing is because I used to be Android Ashley on Twitter, I think Apple has also blacklisted me from any of their events, so I actually just can't go to either.
I really wish they could open it up to more people. I learn more at these things, and a lot of it's still kind of over my head, but you just absorb so much information about how things work and what it takes to make them work, and it's so cool watching the developers, you know, just learn. We talked about it last week, Jerry, with the post-Romania Guy did on Falcon, you know, in one post, hey, here's why this doesn't work as well as it could, and here's why the graphics can be smoother. And by that afternoon, the developer, in fact, I did my review on Saturday morning. This came out Saturday evening. By Sunday night, the app had been, you know, upgraded already with some of these improvements. I mean, I was just astounded. And that's the sort of thing you get there. It's just developers learning. It's not about getting a free phone or a free tablet, which is cool, and I'm glad they do that for the developers and everybody.
Yeah.
But seeing that sort of thing is what really, really makes it cool and worth it. You know, I'm glad they stream it. It's not quite the same thing, and I really wish they could open it up. I don't know how you could do it without it just becoming so unwieldy.
I have an idea. I have an idea. You can submit this to I.O. excuse me, when you guys go. So what I think they should do is something similar to what they do with like a Tokyo game show. So basically you have, it's a 4-day event and you have three of those days that are developer only, and that's the one that you get the really expensive pass for. And then there's one that's a little bit less expensive that will allow you to go. And it's just one day where you can walk around, see everything, and it's open to the public. So, however, after seeing how the Nexus 4 sales have been going, I don't know that I would want to trust Google with selling those tickets. I'd be slightly concerned. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see. You know, as long as here's a thought. We know how crazy registration is for I/O. Is it better or worse than the Nexus 4?
I'm gonna say it's the same. Man, it's the same. And the thing is like I think that it's funny to me how Google didn't anticipate the demand for the Nexus 4. Like everybody wanted it. It's such a great, I mean, it's a good device, and it's a good price. But I think that they should know better because people go nuts for I/O and it's sold out in, 30 seconds and there's just no, and it's way more expensive than the Nexus 4. So for me, I just think Google, kind of missed the boat on that one in terms of foresight, because obviously they know the demand for I/O. So why not know that they're going to have that same level of demand for a device that's really inexpensive off contract?
I/O, they do it a little bit differently. They have kind of different levels of registration. It's kind of
they have the application wink, wink. Stuff.
And we get a separate thing through, press registration, which thank you, Google. But for certain development, there are different things. So yeah, I just wish everybody could go. It's so much fun. It's so much learning, and I can't wait. I'm excited.
Take it on the road.
Tell Google you need 733 press passes this year to play in Jack.
Right, exactly. I can go. I'll sneak in.
We're not going to know more about registration until February, they said. I kept trying to figure out why we saw these headlines. They're like, registration is starting early 2013. Well, no kidding. They've never done it, in the year previous.
Shocker.
Yeah.
So, registration starts November 2012.
They'll announce a date, and then we'll all freak out for 2 weeks until that date comes, and then we will all crush their servers again. Please, Google, fix your servers.
Crush them with our iron fists.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be able to handle it. I mean, is there anything left to say about the Nexus 4 that we haven't said 500 times? So I got another big... maybe not a form mail because I only got it once today, but a couple of weeks ago I got a whole bunch of emails from a thread that had started at XDA, trying to tell everybody to get the word out about how bad it was. I mean, I don't know what else people want us to do. I'm not going to do a post every day saying Google sucked at selling things and they need to get better, because we know it. I guarantee you Google knows it. They absolutely know. And
a lot of people want to know where the bumper is. That's the big question.
Yeah, Alex has just shipped today in the UK. You still can't buy it here. I think Fandroid got one early a couple weeks ago. I don't know. It's weird. I'm not sure I want a bumper. We'll see.
I want a bumper so I can throw it at someone, like the phone, and then I don't have to worry about their face breaking my Nexus 4, and then I can break their face, and then I can take my phone and run away.
So here's a story on mine, and I don't mind telling it now, that I just got two more in the mail today, the ones that I ordered on the 27th showed up, and looks like a lot of more people are getting them. And actually, that's why people are upset. It's not that it took so long, it's that Google didn't say anything, and I get that. That's bad. And Google has this thing where you won't get shipped, or you won't get... billed until it's shipped, right? It won't pull the money out of your credit card. Maybe that happened, maybe it didn't. It's a big mess, because then you get this email that says, hey, it's shipped, and then you go to the UPS shipping thing and it says, well, a label's been created, but it hasn't shipped. It actually did that for the Nexus 7, and I remember that, and Jerry, you remember that. So for this last one, I had to wait like 2 days before I saw that it shipped yesterday morning, and then it was here today. So, I mean, for me, not the end of the world. For a lot of people, I get that there's frustration. We're not going to do 10,000-word expose on why Google sucks at this. They suck at it.
Oh, I just think it's more... I just think for me, like, if I had ordered a Nexus and I got the first round in, like, I would be so freaked out that I would break it. Because it's, it's got the glass back. Like, I would just like, oh, God, please don't fall on the ground. Don't pull a Jerry and drop it. Like, I'd be so terrified.
So... I've had mine for more than a month now, and this is the one that Google sent us. So I've been hesitant to talk about it, for fear of breaking it before I was actually able to buy one, that we can have, so we can send this back to Google. I've not cracked it. I did manage a couple days ago to get a couple good scratches on the front. I blame the dog. I don't know where he went. But
you're blaming. Don't blame the dog.
I think my 75-pound foxhound sat on this thing, and he's got big toe.
Blame your kids. That's who I like to blame. Children.
Yeah, that could be too. But I have not cracked the glass. I mean, I've got some decent scratches on the back, but the scratches on the back, well, I don't know if they're different in the front. It's hard to tell because of the crystal reflective process thing. But I have not, like, dropped it and broken it yet. Knock on wood.
That's impressive. I've seen somebody tweeted at me and said that they popped their Nexus, mm-hmm. and it had fallen out of their pocket, or I don't know how it had ended up on the floor, but it had hit right in the corner and it just.
Jerry, you were saying before the show you dropped it.
Yeah, it slid off the table. I have a little computer cart for my laptop, and I was shoving it out of the way, and it slid off and went flying across the room and hit hard enough to pop the SIM card tray out, but it didn't break the glass.
I don't even know how you pop the SIM card tray out like that.
I have no idea. It must be if you bang it really hard on that side, which would mean it hit on the side. That's why the glass didn't break. I ran it through in my mind. I mean, there was even a scenario where there were angels watching over Jerry's Nexus. But glass didn't break back or front, so I'm happy. Although I do have a big hellacious scratch on the front.
Already.
But that's from my pocket.
That's still pretty lucky.
Yeah.
I think we locked up. We went into cryostasis on the video feed, but I can still hear everybody.
People are still going back and forth on whether or not this thing has Gorilla Glass on the back. And I don't know.
Does it really matter? I mean,
I don't think it matters, but I think it goes back to, and this goes back to when I was in Korea, and they said, you know, the front is Gorilla Glass. We are not calling the back of it glass. And that, you know, they would nod like, yes, it's glass, but it's not Gorilla Glass. That's always been my understanding. And if it, you know, if it's any different, I haven't heard any, you know, seen any actual documentation. But I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the back doesn't bother me as much with the scratches for obvious reasons. But yeah, the ones on the front kind of suck. But I'm going to suck it up and keep using it. Because it's not that bad yet. But you know what?
I was going to say, oh, yeah, it must be so terrible.
If I'm going to be that anal about it, the fact that I can get a new one for, you know, $300 or $350.
Is pretty good, yeah.
Considering it's not cheap. I mean, don't get me wrong. That is not cheap.
But considering that if you had an iPhone that you scratched the sides on, that you nicked, you would have to, that it's twice the cost.
Exactly.
You know?
No, I'm still very much enjoying this phone. I think it still has some serious software issues. And we were talking on Twitter this afternoon with some folks who, you know, Dan from The Verge and Eric from Phone Scoop, who are seeing battery problems. And I think Brad from Engadget too. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to tell with that sort of thing because software, you know, whether it's the OS or whether it's an app interacting poorly with the OS, and it's just, it's tough to tell just from looking at that one thing. But I think there's still a lot of software tweaks that need to be done. And you know what? It's a Nexus. It's bleeding edge software. These things are going to happen. It sucks. And I think it was better before we got that update on the 13th, right when it launched. But I really don't have any complaints. I'm still not using the lock screen widgets, though. Can't make me do it.
Yeah, I'm not one for lock screen widgets. I actually just, it's like a cosmetic thing for me. I just like it to, I like to see my nice lock screen wallpaper and nothing else. And the thing is like, if I'm going to turn my phone on, I might as well just unlock it and do all the things.
I'm not going to do it. Can't make me do it. What else? You want to talk about the best international Android phone you can buy? So Alex did up our international post.
Just did.
Yeah, I know we kind of did, didn't
we?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, snap.
I see what Jerry just did. No, I am in agreement with Alex. I think the best one probably is the Galaxy S3.
Galaxy S3 doesn't run Android, baby.
Oh.
Android doesn't have SD cards, menu buttons, or physical buttons.
You're right.
Nexus 4, all the way.
I'm not saying
you're
gonna I disagree
go with,
Nexus 4.
With you
personally, but... But taking everything into consideration, it's not a bad choice. And look, I don't think anything we have on this list is a bad phone.
I didn't say it was a bad choice.
Right,
No. It's a great freaking choice.
We've said it. I think every week we've said it. Everything on this list is good. I mean, when was the last time we saw
it? They're all good.
Yeah. Not to say there aren't like bad phones.
That we can have a list of like a whole bunch of phones that are, you know, amazing.
Right.
If the Nexus 4 came in a 32-gigabyte variant, I would say the Nexus 4.
Except for the camera.
I am the kind of person who I'm literally, like today, I literally downloaded 4 gigabytes worth of games onto my tablet. So I have a serious problem and I'm trying to work on that, but I need more storage space.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's good and bad. Thinking about it today is Renee and Dieter and I think John Gruber were going back and forth over back buttons. And they referred to that old Android Police thing from September about things that, you know, should be improved. And I got to thinking, just very briefly, because, yeah, the back button's been broken for a long time. I mean, that's not new. That's not new to Jelly Bean. The back button
fixed in Jelly Bean. Developers just won't do it.
Right. That's part of the problem. I still think there's a bigger issue there, and that there's just kind of a lack of continuity about how things are done, whether your app has this big back button in the top left, like, you know, say the music app, or whether you have more in the overflow button and the three dots, but then you still have the back button that does other things. So it's like, and you kind of get a feel for what app does what as you use them. But I tell you what, if I was going to significantly change, I mean, this is fundamental stuff. You cannot change this overnight. I don't even think you can change it in a year. It's a big thing. And like Jerry just said, developers aren't on board yet, and that's bad. Hardware manufacturers are not on board yet. If I was going to, change a fundamental aspect of this operating system, first thing I would do is take it out of hardware. And that's what they've done. They said, you know what? We're going to start making Android with these software buttons and the software back button.
Mm-hmm.
That way we can control it and it will do what we want it to. It's going to be a long process and they're not going to fix it quickly. And they might not even fix it right at all. It's a tough thing.
And because of the open nature, whether you want to argue open or not,
right?
It might not ever get fixed.
It might not.
No.
That's something we all always need to remember is that anybody, Phil, Ashley, and myself, we could get together. If we found $5 million tomorrow, we could create a line of Android phones and do whatever the hell we wanted with them.
Yep.
And nobody can say anything about it.
Right. Where's our $5 million? We got to do that. That seems like a really good idea.
You two can just give me my share. You all make a phone. I'll be somewhere with my feet on some warm sand.
We'll get on.
I just want to see, like, I was really hoping that, like, Cyanogen would win the Powerball so that they could make their own line of phones, because that would be the best thing ever. I would just love to see them make hardware. It'd just be so cool.
I think you would find $5 million gets you through, like, a week.
Well, no, I mean the Powerball, like, so, you know, $550 million. That's a good enough, you know, you could make. Or we should do a Kickstarter. They could make $500 million in Kickstarter, right? That's the thing. We could charge $1,000 per entry.
Early this morning, SwiftKey Flow finally hit beta.
It's so good.
Yeah, like it?
It's so good.
I've been using it for a little while now. SwiftKey is the keyboard I use, so I hesitate to talk too much because I know those guys and they're good guys, but it's the keyboard I use on a daily basis, so I didn't want to be overly fanboyish about it. And I tell you what, I'm not sold on the swiping thing. I use swipe for a long time, but for me, my brain just works with seeing the letters. I know what I'm typing. My thumbs are good to go. Mm-hmm. I think that's the really nice thing about this is you don't have to use it if you don't want to. You can totally turn it off in the settings if it really bothers you that much.
Yeah.
And you still have the prediction. And for me, it was always less about the prediction because I know what I want to type and I'm just going to type it. But the keyboard itself and the layout of the keyboard and the UI and especially for me, the secondary functions, so the long press, their timing on the long press is better than anybody.
So good.
Better than anybody.
Yeah. It's really good. And you know, the one thing I really like about it is I'm a thumbs typer, and my husband uses swipe, but now I can recommend SwiftKey to him and he likes it better than, and we both have Evos. So it's amazing how they've sort of made it able to have a completely different user experience that's still really solid with SwiftKey Flow. I just think it's really good. Like I used to use thumb keyboard, like that was my go-to, and I still every now and then I go back to it, but I still am not I'm not desperate to, you know, it's like I haven't found the right keyboard yet, and I really feel like SwiftKey Flow is kind of it's the closest I've seen to like a great keyboard for me that I won't switch back and forth from.
I'm impressed that they put such a big, huge new feature in it and it didn't affect anything else because I can't stand swiping keyboards.
Right.
But like Phil, I use SwiftKey But I like the prediction. I like to be able to text my wife just by pressing four little buttons. And they added in this flow. And of course, I played with it. And it works well enough, in my opinion. And it didn't affect the way I normally use it at all.
They've been excited about it for a long time. Bugging me like every day. So it's really cool to see it come to fruition and for everybody else to get to try it. I like it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to use it. It's a free upgrade, too, by the way. So, you know, if you don't want it, you know, it's not going to cost you anything extra. And it's not like this is the end
of
what they're working on. By all means, try it out.
Yeah. You should absolutely try it out. Because honestly, like I said, I've really loved Thumb Keyboard for a long time. And this is like, I mean, it's so good. Really enjoying it.
So there's that. What else? We already talked about Falcon. Starbucks was updated for Android 4.2. Hooray! Finally
for everybody, like iOS and Android. I mean, they just kind of dragged their feet on it, so it's like it's about time, guys.
Do you want to talk about Microsoft screwing up bad the other night? I kind of don't.
Can we please talk about it? Just because
so
it is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Tuesday night, I'm a couple glasses of wine into this nice bottle, and I hop back in the bedroom to see what's going on Twitter real quick, and I see Windows Phone, who says, "Tell us about your droid rage. Android is full of malware. Tell us about your droid rage. We'll make it better for you.
Tell us your Android malware horror stories. Use the hashtag droid rage."
No, they didn't just go there. They didn't just go there. Oh,
Windows, the original inventors of malware. I mean, come on, you guys. What are you doing over there? It's the most ridiculous. I just can't even. My brain could not wrap
around. Finally started retweeting people's responses, but only the ones against
Android. Only the nice ones, of course.
Windows is malware.
Yeah. It's a terrible parasite. It's a blight upon the land.
It takes money from you. So, yes, it's malware. Right, it fits the definition of malware.
Let me read these tweets so you see what happened. The very first one, did you see the SOFA security threat report on Android malware? And they give the link. Here are three steps for dealing with malware. Step one, wait for your Android phone to get infected with malware. Step two, recover from SMS scam bill shock. Step three, skip steps one and two, buy a Windows phone and connect with people you care about instead of some hacker plotting in a dank basement. Really?
Wait. Can I just, the very first step, wait for your phone to get infected with malware? It's like, if I just leave this around, is it going to get infected?
Absolutely not.
I'm pretty sure that most malware for Android is from people going through outside proper channels.
Chinese app stores.
Apps.
It is such bull that Microsoft even said this. You know,
step one. I agree with Josh Bryson. Step one, stop pirating apps from Chinese websites.
Yeah.
The end. Like, I think that's pretty much how it goes.
You know, so their final one was, do you have an Android malware horror story? Reply with droid rage with your best worst story, and we may have a get well present for you. So, of course, you know, I ping Jerry real quick. I'm like, dude, this isn't going to end well.
No.
And, you know, I'm not going to read our tweets if you've... Maybe I was a little hard on them. I don't know.
I was particularly proud of... Living hell from them.
I was watching Sense of Anarchy with my wife, and I came back in here after a while, and I was like, ooh, I got to send something else out. And I was like, oop, sorry, been gone a little while. Had to reboot the PC. Oh, that was too easy. Too easy. And it started a whole thing. There's this new Droid Rages Twitter account that's retweeting everybody's stuff. And
my
problem with this whole thing is that I like Windows Phone. It's not a bad alternative. It's really not. It's not Android. It's not as good as Android. I saw somebody else say on Google Plus, you know, Phil's got one foot out the door. You know, no, I don't. And you don't know what the hell you're talking
about.
I know. It's like, don't be an idiot. I'll talk for me. Thank you. But I like Windows Phone as an alternative. I think Microsoft this is not a secret. I used Windows Mobile before I started with Android. And I think Microsoft has come a long way with Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. It still has a ways to go. It's not doing it perfect. Nobody does it perfect. But this is just dumb social, you know, whatever. And for all the good they've done, this didn't undo all the good that they've done over the past year. Absolutely not. But it was just stupid, and you interrupted my bottle of wine and Sons of Anarchy with my wife, and, you know, there are going to be consequences for that sort of thing.
There are consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, if you interrupt Phil's bottle of wine, there's going to be problems.
And my,
that's
my
what
bikers?
The moral of this story is.
Yeah. God help me if they do it during Justified.
Yeah, Phil Rage. I agree. We got hashtag Phil Rage. That's what we need to start tweeting.
It was funny, but...
No, I just... I think this whole... I have a problem with any of these, any manufacturer. Like, I don't really care for the Samsung commercials, these, like, iSheep commercials where they have the people waiting in line, because I feel like Samsung is insulting the very people who they want to buy their phones.
Exactly.
And so, I am not a huge fan of them, because I want to see what your phone does. I don't want to hear about what the other phone can't do. Like, for me, I want to hear about why your phone is great. I don't want to hear about what why another phone is bad. Because the thing is I'm not going to believe you. Like, just tell me what your phone does and how much it costs.
Exactly.
And where I can buy it.
Like, don't go negative. There was absolutely
no reason. There's no reason. Because the 8X and the Lumia 920 are great phones. Like, there's no reason to go negative. They're good devices.
And Microsoft has done really well with the marketing so far. I thought the one in the bathroom was awesome. When they're like, you know what? Put your damn phone down.
Yeah.
Don't pee and talk on your phone at the same time. Not that I've ever done that. Ever. But
it's, I mean, but it's funny and it gets people's attention. And I really like that sort of approach.
Exactly. And for me, it still goes back to my 6-year-old recognizes Windows 8 from the commercials, Windows 8 from the commercials. And then we were in a AT&T store when I bought this 8X and she walked up and she saw them standing there on the wall. She said, Daddy, it looks like Windows 8. Done. Microsoft, you're
there
doing it right. Don't screw up the social side. That was just dumb. That was just
too
easy.
When a kid has product recognition, brand recognition,
exactly.
You are doing it right.
Yep.
I'm going to get on the internet and order a Nexus 4 for Mia and save her from you, Phil.
I've got 3 here right now.
Well, one of them's hers.
Okay.
Damn it. That's just, you got to stop, man.
My kids are so platform agnostic. It's awesome. They hop, you know, between Android and iOS. I don't think they've tried... Windows Phone 8, but Mia uses Windows 8 on the desktop, and it's so cute to see. It's really good. Should we do some emails and voicemails, and we'll get the hell out of here? And I'll go drinking at a bar separately.
Love emails and voicemails.
I like emails and voicemails too. So let's do the voicemails. Let's do the voicemails first, if we can. And hey, by the way, if you're going to leave a voicemail, which is awesome, and I love it when people do it, try to keep it to like a minute. Not 3 minutes, not 5 minutes, because I'm not going to play five minutes, and I'm not going to.
We had a five-minute-long voicemail on Tech Foolery last week from one of our beloved listeners about it was a Thanksgiving story, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
I love everybody, but I'm not doing five-minute voicemails. I'm sorry, and with that,
I also read the Google transcripts of their voicemails, so it's even better.
All right, let's do. let's start with Brian.
Hey guys, this is Brian in the South Bay area, California. I just had a quick question about the Samsung Galaxy S3. I'm wondering if you know, did I just miss it or is it still coming? The inductive charger that was supposed to be available shortly after release. I thought I heard something about Verizon having one available, but I'm on Sprint and I don't know if I'm assuming it's the same thing or whatever, but yeah, really like to have some inductive charging on it, and I know it already has the connectors built in. I've even thought about doing the hardware hack where you can use a touchstone, but it takes a little bit more work than I'd prefer to do on my on-contracted device. So, anyways, any input would be appreciated. Thank you.
You can do the official route if you want, but I tell you what, Brian, I'm in a good mood. I'm in the holiday spirit. I want to give stuff away. So I'm going to give you an already hacked battery cover for your Galaxy S3 and a Palm Touchstone charger.
God.
How about that? Right here, right now.
I'm calling the podcast email right now. Looking for a car.
No, I've got a few laying around.
My car is so broken down.
So, Brian, email me, or I've got your phone number. Actually, email me with your phone number because I have your phone number from your voicemail. And I'll get in touch with you.
Santa droid strikes.
Yeah. No, my wife picked it up the other day from our little hutch in the breakfast area. She's like, what the hell is this? It's like, it's a Palm Touchstone, baby. They're like worth $2 now. They're awesome. They were awesome, actually. Where the hell is the one for the Nexus 4, by the way? I know we've talked about this before, but I mean, they showed it to The Verge and then didn't really announce it.
I can picture this vault at the bottom of the campus Mountain View, and it's like Capone's. When you open it up, there'll be one charger in it.
I told you how when I was in Korea, when we were at the production facility, they also have like a showcase where they just have like every LG product everywhere. And to get into that area, you had to have a retina scan. I mean, not us, but the woman who was in charge of showing us around. Yeah, like she scanned her eyeball like James Bond. It was really cool. I'd never seen that before.
Man, I would love to work there. That'd be so cool.
Or at least she said it scanned her eyeball. I mean, you could fake it and I'd never know the difference, right?
I don't want to work somewhere where we have retina scanning. That How just cool seems is that? Awesome.
All right, let's do Tom's voicemail.
Hi, guys. Love the podcast. Listen to you guys every week. My name is Tom. And, excuse me, my question is my wife would like to get me a smartphone for Christmas. And I've done a lot of research on my own, and also I'm a Verizon customer, and I am locked into Verizon due to family reasons. So I was wondering, well, first of all, what about the Galaxy S3, or should I wait for the rumored S4 that could come out next year? And Amazon.com has that S3 for $59.99 for 16 gigs. So I thought that was really a bargain. But my big question is an unlockable bootloader. And I'd really like to do something like that. And I heard another rumor that the Galaxy S3 doesn't keep the bootloader unlocked for long. And it reverts back or something like that. So love the podcast. Bye.
So my Galaxy S3 still has an unlocked bootloader, or not unlocked. I think I have the engineering bootloader on there. Go to our forums; they'll walk you through it. It's not a big deal to do it. I would recommend it. TouchWiz is not for me. It is for some people, and that's fine too. But I've been happy with
that's
CM10.
A cat. Everyone's asking if that's a cat.
Is that your
baby.
Cat? Yeah,
it's our 17-year-old cat who has dementia, and so he comes in from the outside and literally caterwauls in our kitchen as loud as humanly possible. Sorry.
So no, Tom. I think you can do it without problem if you want to do it, and by all means, do it. The guys in the forums will take care of you there.
Yep. Absolutely. And it doesn't roll back unless you do something silly and make it roll back yourself.
Like refresh.
It's not going to magically become locked again.
Exactly. So it's not just going to spontaneously do it.
Right.
Okay, let's do Onyx.
Hey, this is Onyx Black from the Android Central Forums, and this is for the Android Central Podcast. I wanted to know if you guys have noticed that a couple of features on Google Now haven't really been appearing lately. Like I remember in September, at the end of September, Google kind of surprised all of us with some random notification telling us how much we've walked in that month in comparison to the last month. I haven't seen that since probably September or October, and I just wanted to know, was there like a big hoorah about how creepy that was and why that feature is no longer there? All right. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Really good question.
That is a good question. Why? What's with the lack of Easter eggs in Google Now? Or maybe we just haven't unlocked them yet.
Well, no, not Easter egg, but they had that thing for like a week. It would say, hey, you've walked, 2 miles this week. And it wasn't very accurate. I have a feeling that's why they got rid of it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I think it was maybe looking at where you live or work and then kind of using using GPS to, or, whatever location to figure out, hey, you're walking, you're going this fast, so here's how far you probably walked. Yeah, it's a little creepy, and yeah, it was pretty not accurate. So they just killed it. But good eye. That was a really good catch.
Yeah, I haven't even, that's funny, I hadn't even thought of that until I heard this voicemail, and I was like, oh man, great. What did happen?
Of course, they replaced it with Ingress, which gets us fat asses out walking and standing in fields and
Getting arrested.
Has anyone gotten arrested yet? Have you seen anything?
Somebody got held. Somebody got detained. I saw somebody post about it on Google+. They had said that I guess there was a portal outside of a police station, and they had to, you know, they're holding up their phone, and the cops came out and were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was trying to explain it, but because it was, he's like, it's a GPS based sort of game, and like, they didn't believe him. And so they hauled him into the station and sort of, I guess, questioned him for,
pointed at him and however, said, nerd, like, and gave him a wedgie.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But I guess they held him for like 3 hours, and it questioned him about what he was doing and what, you know, what was going on. And it, they basically held him on the Patriot Act and was like, we can hold you here because this is a federal building and whatever. So yeah, they did not care for that. So just so you guys know, if you see a portal around a police station, be careful.
And fire stations too. In my, God, in my city,
maybe
everything.
any federal or state, local owned building, government buildings, maybe not a great idea.
Everything here is blue, by the way, and like totally sucks.
I've got one about 75 yards behind a big handwritten sign that says trespassers will be shot.
You've got one next to a strip club.
I know.
That seems like a great place for a portal.
And hit two of them. And half.
Jerry's got it too good. All right, last
place where strip clubs and historical sites can share the same building.
Well, where I come from, strip clubs are historical sites. All right, last voicemail from Chris.
Hey guys, this is Chris from Pennsylvania, and this is for the Android Central podcast. I was listening to this last week's podcast and noticed you guys made a couple comments on a few things that intrigued me. The HTC 8X that Phil's got, I was just curious as to what model he has, whether it's the Verizon or the AT&T model. I know you guys are talking about the, you know, the wireless charging, inductive charging, and only currently the 8X on Verizon has that option. The AT&T, T-Mobile versions do not. So I know Phil has AT&T, not sure which one he had the phone on. So... and then the second thing that I noticed, we keep talking about LTE on the Nexus 4. And I think for people that live in LTE capable areas, it may be a big issue. But, you know, for me, we live out here in the sticks and we barely have any, HSD 8 plus service. We're kind of on the fringe, for AT&T. And I certainly won't have LTE even in the city here close to me, for maybe the end of the year. But, my problem has been with an LTE device is that, you know, when they're on, HSPA plus or HSPA plus fringe networks, they don't, you know, don't hold the signal very well. And the constant switching and it's constant looking for LTE, it seems like the phones are more dedicated towards LTE service. So for me, in my use case, a device without LTE capability is perfect for me. And, the Nexus 4 has been holding up just great. Love you guys. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, so mine is AT&T, and that's good to know. So those of you who worry about me jumping ship, obviously I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So <It's cool. laughs> don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. Second half, Jerry, what do you think?
I'm not really sure, Phil. I mean, first off, what exactly he was asking him if they
when you're in just
prioritize for LTE, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're in sketchy coverage, I mean, your battery's going to get zapped. That's just the way it works.
I would think that's something they can fix with the PRL because the PRL tells you what towers to connect. If you contact Verizon. And you are consistently in an area and your battery gets killed because you're trying to connect to LTE and it's just not good enough to use, talk to Verizon. It sounds like something they can fix with a PRL update. They can change a setting somewhere and tell your phone if you're at that area, don't try to connect to LTE anymore. But that's just a guess. I'm not sure how exactly they handle that.
That's a good question. And you know, unfortunately, it's something... Some people are saying there was a story that we were told at one of the HTC events I was at. We were talking about carriers and how OEMs, how manufacturers like HTC have to do weird things with radios sometimes, and how there was some regional carrier. You have all these tiny little regional carriers dotted all throughout the states, and how one of the big carriers, I think it was Sprint, had to pay something like $10,000, it might have been more, a month to this regional carrier so that it could say it had in roaming fees, so that it could say it had coverage. So there's this weird things that happen when you're in rural areas and are kind of hopping back and forth. So just, I mean, it can be really expensive too. but yeah, it can also kill your battery. All right.
That's the best part about having Sprint is you just don't have to worry about having LTE anywhere. You just shut it off because it doesn't exist.
You don't have to worry about having 3G anywhere either, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I'm just on an extended network all the time. So great.
Let's do a couple emails and we'll get the hell out of here. Vladimir writes, my family's asking me what I want for Christmas. I want to tell them to get me Google Play gift cards. The reason is because my contract with my carrier is up in February, and I want to purchase a Nexus 4 from the Play Store. My question is, can I use the Google Play cards to purchase hardware off the Play Store, or is it just for digital content only? You mean Google Play cards like these?
I knew that was coming.
If you haven't seen,
we're stripper rich in Google Play cards.
I am. I'm popping these in G-strings before the podcast is over.
I don't even want to know where you got those or how you got them.
Yeah, as long as you're not asking about where I have a G-string. No, we're giving these away one every day for the rest of the month. So if you haven't done that contest yet, still plenty of time. No, you can only use them for digital content. Sorry.
Yes. No hardware. Sorry, dudes and dudettes.
All right, who wants the next one?
Makes sense.
Jerry.
I got it here. Larry writes, my understanding is that the Nexus devices are not meant to be super phones or super tablets with state-of-the-art hardware, fastest speeds, best camera, best build quality, etc. But I think that the average customer, perhaps even the average Android Central reader, does expect the Nexus to be a super device. Do you think Google should yield to those expectations and require the manufacturers of Nexus devices to make them state-of-the-art super devices? No. Google, at this point, I mean, the Nexus program appears to have changed from what it originally was. And right now, Google should just make whatever they think they could sell and let developers have easy access to. I love what they did with the Nexus 4, $300, $325 or $45. Get them phones in the developers' hands. To me, that's the important part.
Yeah.
Other people may feel differently.
No, I agree. I don't think Google is beholden to... I mean, I think they should listen to us, but Google has a plan, and it's following that plan. Google is a Cylon, basically, when you get down to it. They need to do what they think's right to better the platform, and I think they're doing that. And, you know, they do this for a living. I don't. I just talk about it.
Well, and one thing, I mean, the Nexus 7... the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 10, what hardware is not state-of-the-art? Name me a 7-inch tablet that has a better all-around technologically components inside, whatever word I'm looking for, or a 10-inch tablet or a phone.
Yeah.
Well, and also for the price. I mean, the thing is people, like, for me, I mean, it's a matter of there is, I don't think it's a very... I don't think it's much of a compromise at all when you consider the components that are in these devices, these Nexus devices, compared to, or, you know, in contrast with the price. I mean, the thing is, yeah, you can have a 1080p screen or you can have, you know, you can have these things, but do you want them if that means you're paying a premium for what's in there? And it's like, does it really matter? And for me, using the Nexus 4 or using the Nexus 7, it's like, I don't need these specific things that people, you know, are saying that are trying to claim are like, you know, the state of the art things. For me, it's more of like, this is a great phone at a great price. It's a great tablet at a great price. And the compromise, quote unquote, that you're making in buying it is that, you know, you're getting the best components and none of the fluff for that price. For me, that's what it's all about. That's what the Nexus program is for.
But here's the other thing. With the Nexus 4, you got a state of the art device.
Yeah. It's a state-of-the-art device. It's a great phone.
It's, you know, the camera, I mean, I will totally accept. That is not necessarily, I hate to say state-of-the-art because that's a little subjective.
But I do believe that the hardware in the camera is state-of-the-art.
Right.
With really mediocre software on it.
Right. So that's different. You know, but the system on the chip, you know, if you haven't gone back and listened to our talk with Brian Klug a couple weeks ago, you know, this is state of the art. This is an Optimus G. That's what it is. Don't tell me the Optimus G isn't state of the art hardware. 1080p display that the DNA has, fine. I'll argue that all you want.
That's nice. Yeah. But it's, again, I feel like that's fluff. To me, right. I'd say 1080 on a tiny, you know, 4 to 5 inch screen is not, I don't need that. I'm sorry. I don't see the reasoning for that. Like the human eye, it can only, you know,
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, to me, it's not worth the extra money that it would cost to have that kind of screen, or to have, you know, this, to have a camera that's like the Nokia camera with the stabilization on the inside, the housing. It's like these things are not worth the extra money to me. I just want the phone to be solid and fast and you know, keep me content. That's what I want. And that's, for me, the Nexus phone does that.
And for the price, you know, can't beat it.
It's amazing. Can't beat the price.
We want to be able to sit on the John and play Temple Run. And talk to people and text people. We don't need any more than we've got.
Well.
Yeah.
I'd go there.
I mean, I'm a big camera person. I love having a great camera. And that's probably why I tend to prefer. I mean, I don't love Sense more than I love stock. But at the end of the day, like, I make that choice based on I want a really nice camera. And I really like Image Sense. So I'm going to buy the Evo LTE as opposed to a Nexus.
Right. Ashley, you got these open? You want to read the next one?
Yes, I will read the next email.
Sweet.
I got my Nexus 7 right here, just hanging out with it, talking on the Android Central podcast. Dan writes to us, oh, I love this question. Why don't companies like Samsung, HTC, Motorola, etc. build their phones with stock Android and then supply their UI as a launcher over Google Play?
Because it's not a launcher.
Yeah, it's not a launcher. It's not. It is a build of Android. It's an Android-based operating system.
Right.
So it's not. We have to start thinking of it in these terms, because if we think of it in terms of, you know, oh, it's stock with a skin on it, at the end of the day, it's not really that. So it's their own operating system that is Android-based, just like you would have something that's Linux-based. It's kind of the same thing.
Perfect.
For me. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better way to describe that. I mean, it's not a skin. I hate it. I hate it when people call these skins. Gizmodo did a big piece the other day about, you know, what was the best skin or why things are skinned. They're not skinned. I mean, this is
an Android-based UX.
And go back to what we were just talking about with HTC and this Google Now thing. I mean, if you want proof that it's not a launcher or not a skin, that's it. You know, they went and monkeyed around in the internal workings of it, and suddenly something doesn't work. Now, that sucks, but that also is proof that it's, you know, much lower level than just how it looks. So,
well, what about, let me ask you this, Bill. So there is the news this week that Sony is going to allow you to flash stock on the Xperia. Is that a thing that you see manufacturers allowing us to do in the future? Like, as opposed to the unlock bootloader thing where they're like, okay, well, you can unlock your bootloader and root your phone. Like, why don't manufacturers give us the opportunity to say, go to their website? If we're an advanced user, why couldn't I go to HTC's website and flash my phone as stock? Because they offer that.
Because like, the time,
you know, someone's doing
it. So because for me, the time and money and effort it takes the company to do something like that Sony is doing that, I think it's really cool. But I get that not everybody is going to be willing to do that or can do that. I mean, look, there's a finite amount of talent you can have to work on this stuff. I think what HTC did with its bootloader unlocking program is perfect. That's all they need to do. If they want to go above and beyond, cool. But as long as they give you the tools to unlock it, great. That's fine. Now, the problem we have here in the States is that the carriers get in the way. I mean, are we ever going to see a droid in a developer edition droid DNA? I don't know. I mean, look what happened with the Samsung Galaxy S3 developer edition on Verizon. And it took them forever to put it out. Did anybody actually buy it? I didn't wait to buy it. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know,
it just took too long.
Yeah. So will HTC ever be allowed to sell a developer version, possibly with more memory than with more storage than Verizon allowed on there? I don't know. Those of you watching the video right now, I'm winking.
Kind of feels like I just
But I think, you know, HTC's doing it the right way. Samsung has attempted to do it the right way. Motorola's been doing it the right way. Sony's been doing it the right way. Where's the holdup? It's the carriers.
Yeah.
AT&T, Verizon specifically, I guess.
You guys suck. Carriers. I have lots of angry words about carriers that you can hear on my podcast.
Yeah. What's Jerry typing?
They often involve four letters.
What are you typing, Jerry?
I am talking. You'll see.
I can feel it. I didn't have to look.
About broken Nexus 4s.
John writes, my HTC Incredible 4G, the storage space doesn't seem to make sense. So the phone has 8 gigabytes on the device. Now I have 1.42 gigabytes available, yet there's internal and phone storage. Under internal storage, there's apps, which is using 800 megabytes and says I have 250 available. Then there's the phone storage, which says I have 1.17. If you add them together and make sense of it all, available space. So why is it separated like that? Why does it not add up, Jerry? It's never added up, right?
Paraphrase Dan Morrill here. One of the reasons we moved away from SD cards is because manufacturers are making phones with different partitions and not giving anybody any app space.
Yep.
There you go.
It's just crazy. I mean, this whole partitioning thing is just, it's insane. Sorry.
It's a mess.
it's an insane thing. I don't even know why it's happening.
But
I mean, right there is why Google does not natively support SD cards. That was the exact reason given by the people who write Android.
And why carriers need to not only have 16 gigabytes of storage on a phone.
Right. Now, there's nothing, I mean, it's HTC in this case, but my money would be on Samsung to be the people that could fix it, because Samsung just has a bigger operating budget.
Right.
There are ways to easily support an SD card more natively than is done now, but it's going to require some real engineering and real software development, and that's where we need to go with that, and that satisfies everybody.
That's true.
Finally, Jason writes, my name is Jason, which I just told you is Jason, CRF on the forums, with AT&T on HSPA and Verizon Sprint on CDMA, is LTE the same between the three carriers, or is it different like 3G? So is the LTE network on Verizon different than the LTE on AT&T? From an end user perspective, it's, you know, all fast. From a technical point, yeah, it's different frequencies. So you can't just, you know, share, which sucks. And it's not just like that here in the States. It's like that all over the world. It's going to be a huge headache. It's going to be a big hassle.
Because we ran out of spectrum, and now we're using the pieces that are left over.
So it sucks. It's the way it is. And it's going to be a mess. And that, boys and girls, is the podcast.
I'm so sad it's over already.
I know.
That is not what she said, but I am sad it's over already.
We got to do it again. We will do it again.
We have to. Please have me back.
Yes,
like,
ma'am.
Don't let me cry on Thursdays. I listen to the podcast and I cry the whole time. Like, I don't get in the chat room because I'm just like sobbing all over my computer.
You curl up in a ball and you're like, why won't they call me?
I'm like, I never get the call.
Don't they like
and I work
me?
In Hollywood, so rejection is really hard for me. That's how it is.
What are you talking about? You work in Hollywood. I thought people were used to it out there. Isn't that like a requirement before you can even move?
No, it is. Rejection is a requirement. If you want to live in Southern California or work in the entertainment industry, rejection is like a part of your everyday routine.
Do you wake up in the morning and somebody's standing over your bed and you're just like, good morning? They say no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. No.
No, actually, you wake up and you yawn and you're like, oh, it's a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden, a casting director runs into your bedroom and says, you're too fat for this earth, and then runs out of your house. And then that's how you start your day every day. It's the most ridiculous. I hate it. It's absolutely insane.
It's kind of like working online now that I think about it. A little bit.
It is. LA is a mean place. It's a mean place to live.
All right. With that, be sure to email us, podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral. I am @PhilNickinson. Jerry is @GBHIL. Ashley is @AshleyEsqueda. But even better is just get us on Google+, because that's where it's going on. To search for our names. We're all
totally there.
We are all there. We've got these new communities set up. I don't totally get it. It's like, instead of circles,
Facebook
now have
groups.
Community, whatever.
Which seems like a terrible idea.
There are like 500 Android groups already. Jerry and I are like, should we do Android? We'll be all sneaky. And then we look at it and they're like, hey, look at all those Android groups. Yeah, we're real sneaky. So,
can I plug my podcast?
Absolutely.
If you would like a podcast filled with gadgets, swearing, and weird news, you can go to techfoolery.tv. And that's my podcast. And I host it with the illustrious and very British James Bricknell. And it's a lot of fun.
I miss our British guy. Where's our British guy, Jerry?
You said he was not feeling well tonight, didn't you?
He had the sniffles.
A little under the weather?
Yeah. We'll get him back next week. I hope. I promise. I miss Alex.
He needs a spot of tea.
And a crumpet.
And 4 fingers of good old-fashioned Kentucky bourbon.
Yes.
Picks you right up.
Alex is coming to Vegas in January with us for CES, by the way.
Hot toddies.
Ashley's going to get to meet Alex, finally.
I'm excited.
Alex is awesome. If you haven't met Alex,
I love the Brits. Like when people tell me the redcoats are coming, I get excited because I want to hug them.
Like Alex isn't an unworldly guy, but he's still a little innocent, a little bit, I think. So it's fun like dragging him into
Vegas. Will be perfect.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. as we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. That is ShopAndroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158 if you prefer to do the phone thing. By the way, we got the Andy Splat t-shirts in a whole bunch of different sizes. You know those cool little, what are they called, Andrew plugs? Little bug droid looking USB plugs. So we got those in a bunch of colors now. Mm-hmm. You can go get them as well. In fact, that's hot off the presses tonight. I just found out. So go buy stuff. My kids need a new pair of shoes. It's holidays. I'm just asking.
Oh, I see all these phone tripod mounts.
I know. Oh, do we have tripod mounts?
We get those.
Damn,
in.
Nobody tells me about this stuff. Yes. All right, I'm going digging through the store, and I'm going to find cool stuff to give away the next couple weeks. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222, or you can email it to us. Record it on your computer. Email it. Sounds even better, which is awesome. Jerry, Ashley, thank you. Ashley, Jerry, thank you.
Thanks.
Phil, Ashley, thank you.
Phil, John Jerry. Thank you, Jerry, Phil. Everyone right. In the chat room, thank you.
Yes, chat room. Crazy.
You guys are the best.
That's it. We're out of here. See y'all next week.